Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd Alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
Welcome to episode 155 of Nerd Pride Radio. 155 years ago this month, William Wrigley Jr. was born. William Wrigley Jr., who's that? None other than the chewing gum industrialist. That's how he was described. That's what caught my eye. He's a chewing gum industrialist. That's pretty good. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How are you doing?
I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D / Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comic nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. Our sponsor this week is Bachelor Chow. When you're eating for one and you just don't give a shit. That's right, Bachelor Chow. Now with flavor. All right, what are we gonna? Oh, I know, meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. It's not so meticulous this week. You know why? You know why? Because it's gonna be a fingertips episode. Suck on that.
Fingertips, fingertips, fingertips.
That's right, fingertips. That means I didn't really prepare anything. I'm just gonna go through my. My master list. I'm just going to clean up all the stuff that's been piling up in here. And my son Aiden is here, mocking me from the sidelines because he feels like I've got a bit of an attitude today. Maybe I'm not being as sweet and respectful towards my listeners as I really ought to be. So I'm sorry. You know what? Yeah, come on back, baby. You know I don't mean it.
He's
it's okay.
Because I stole it from him last week.
Yeah, no, that is true. And, worse than that, not only did he steal the podcast from me last week, but you guys all loved it. You raved about how awesome it was to have Aiden in charge.
Really? Really? I was popular for once?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So now, you know what? I don't even know why I bother. You guys just get fingertips. There you go. That's what's going on. So,
I still love you guys. It's okay.
First off, actually, I am going to be selling some popcorn for scouts. You guys aren't obligated to buy anything. You don't have to. But in the past, people have asked what they can do to help out the podcast because, you know, I don't take money for this. I'm not looking for advertising dollars. I just do this because I just really enjoy doing this. But people have asked how they can contribute, how they can help out. If you want to, you know what? Then come on over to the Nerd Pride Facebook page. I'll post up my son's popcorn information and you can actually order popcorn online from the scouts. And it'll be shipped right to you, and then my kids will get the credit for the sale. So you'll be doing a good thing for our local troop here. But that's only if you feel like it. You know, no obligation, no guilt. Don't worry about it. All right, next. I'm opening up my master list, and let's see what the first thing I have is. All right, first up in here, and I don't know why I haven't brought this one up yet, but there's going to be an eclipse. August 21st, next year, like where I live, I'm going to get a total eclipse right over my house. Most awesome thing ever. I'm really looking forward to this. So, when was the last time you got to see a total eclipse of the sun?
Never, because it hasn't happened in America for like 150 years.
No, that's not true. It happened when I was in second grade? Third grade?
Not a total solar eclipse. I just watched a video on this. It would happen in like the 1700s.
Okay, clearly you're wrong, so shut up. All right.
Mike was wicked wrong.
So, I don't know. I don't know if it was a total eclipse when I was a kid or not, because they wouldn't let us look at it. So
I'm looking directly at that thing.
Well, that's the thing, is if you have a total eclipse, you can actually look at it. But only if it's a total eclipse. If it's not, then, you know, then you're going to blind yourself permanently.
Really?
I have no idea.
That sounds dumb.
That's the danger of it, is that you could blind yourself by looking directly into the sun. But, you know, I know people who have stared directly into the sun. I have stared directly into the sun as a kid, specifically because they told me I couldn't do it.
Right. Like, okay.
And probably I did damage my eyes to some degree. I'll give you that.
Okay. You know how I know that's not true? Because when I was in kindergarten through fourth grade, I'm going to move closer to the mic because I can't hear me. From kindergarten through fourth grade, on my ride from one town to the next to go to school, it's a, like, 15 to 20 minute ride, and when I was that little, a lot of the times, I would spend it staring at the sun to see how long I could stare at the sun, and the answer is the entire ride.
That explains a lot about you.
Does it?
Yeah. So, there, you've got your warning. Don't look directly into the sun, all right?
You'll end up like me.
Especially not during the total eclipse. It's just a trick. Don't look. Don't look. But anyway, the whole point is there's going to be an eclipse next year, August 21st, and I am really excited about it, and I'll probably be babbling more about it before it gets here because that's just a cool thing. And again, you know, when you look at the little map and they show the zones where, you know, how much eclipse you're going to get, oh, it passes right over me. I'm excited. So it's going to be cool. Let's see. Oh, next on my fingertips. Netflix. Did I mention that Netflix is being a stickler about charging me for the extra screens now?
Oh, yeah, they're charging per screen, and that's dumb.
Well, I get it. Okay, first off, they haven't really raised their prices on me in ages, and so when we suddenly got a warning, we went to go watch something, and they were like, oh, well, someone's already watching in the other room, but, you know, if you'd like to add an extra screen now, it's just going to cost you an extra couple bucks a month. I'm like, yes, make it two screens, that's fine. And I suppose if Jacob wants to watch, then, you know, we're going to have to raise it to three screens. But he never watches Netflix.
He uses Crunchyroll, which is $6 a month for their monthly premium.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know what the cost of Crunchyroll was.
It's a little over $6, but yeah, it's to watch all your favorite animes in HD.
So,
and a day after they come out in Japan.
So
Crunchyroll, please sponsor us.
So, anyway, I don't mind so much on that one because it's a way for them to prevent theft. They were having a lot of problem with people just handing out their Netflix passwords, blah, blah, blah. But here was the one that got me, is that to go along with that move, they also got it passed so that stealing someone's Netflix password and watching Netflix on their account that you're not paying for is now considered a felony in the United States. Did you know that? A felony. And I'm imagining it's a felony because it involves theft over your cable lines, internet, whatever it is. So it's theft that technically it's interstate theft, conceivably. So therefore, they make it a felony. But come on. Stealing Netflix is a felony? That's amazing to me. Because even if I stole your password, and I'm watching Netflix off your password for free for a year, you've lost nothing, and Netflix has lost, what, less than $100? No, around $100 for a year's worth of Netflix. So, I mean, and that's a felony. That is amazing to me. And you know what that tells me? Netflix has awesome lawyers. Wow, their lobbyists are good at what they do. It is incredible. So, but you know, hey, at this point, it's kind of moot because now with the new password restriction and I had to pay for my extra screen, they're watching for it, so therefore, they're not going to let you watch anything. Anyway, who knows? We'll see how that all works out. I haven't read anything else about it since then. There was all sorts of talk about it when it first happened, and now, nothing. This has been on my list for a while. That's why we're doing it on fingertips, so I can just cross it off. All right. I was reading an article. Oh no, it wasn't even the article. The article linked me straight to the video where Millie Bobby Brown, who played 11 in Stranger Things, and if you haven't watched Stranger Things, I don't know why. That thing's amazing. I'm telling you, they captured. I mean, everyone said this a million times. They captured the sense of movies from that era, the early to mid 80s, captured the essence of those movies really well. I mean, this fits right in with things like E.T. and Goonies and other stuff that pays homage to. But it's also to such a degree that if I had seen this in 1983, I would have bought it completely. If I had watched this in 1983, okay, yes, I would have been amazed at the effects. I would have been, wow, that's really good stuff. But other than the effects being really advanced for 1983, if I had seen it then, no, man, they got it exactly right. But that's not the point. The point is, I watched a video of Millie Bobby Brown getting her head shaved for this role. And she went in and she recorded the whole thing and she was having a lot of fun with it. And I mean, you know, she's a 12-year-old girl getting her head shaved. So it was pretty dramatic. But you know, yes, for a great role, chance of a lifetime. And she was having an awesome time with it. Cool video. The kids from Stranger Things are unbelievably charming. If you saw them at the Emmys, if you've seen them, doing the talk show circuit and all this other stuff, these kids are adorable. My God, they are just charming as all get out. But what I thought was really cool about it was as she's getting her head shaved, the article that linked me to it was from Nerdist, and whoever was doing the write-up for it described it as watching a video of Millie Bobby Brown going full Furiosa. That's how they described getting a girl getting her head shaved. She's going full Furiosa. And I thought, what an awesome description. Going full Furiosa. Because, yeah, you know what? They're both just as badass as the other. Furiosa and Eleven, both of them, totally kick-ass characters. Absolutely love them. And the fact that they both have that same hairstyle, I don't know, is that going to catch on? I don't see anyone rocking that very often right now, but man, it's a badass style.
Actually, at college, there is a whole clique of like 8 girls who all hang out together and who all have their hair like that.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really cool. All right, because we were talking today, Lisa asks Noah, hey, what are you going to be for Halloween? And he doesn't know, and he's kind of thinking. He's got some ideas.
He could be the guitar guy on the front of the bandwagon from Mad Max.
He is not going to be Doof. No.
Well, he has a name.
Yeah, of course he's got a name. He's Doof. He's the guitar guy. No, my suggestion was Noah, you could go as 11. Wouldn't that be awesome? Now, I don't know if you didn't watch Stranger Things, Aiden, so you wouldn't know this.
No, but I want to watch Stranger Things.
But for Noah to dress up as 11 for Halloween, all he would need to do is shave his head, get down to that stubble look, and then he has to wear a pink dress with a denim jacket over the top. Done! Full costume, and he would look awesome. God, he would rock that. Except, of course, he's a 10-year-old boy, and he's not going to go out for Halloween in a pink dress.
Excuse me?
He's not.
I wore that green dress for how many years when I went as Nadia to school?
No, that's true, but you're way more badass than Noah is. And so, I mean, like, I would love for him to go as 11, but he really, really, really doesn't want to. He is not at an age where he's ready to do that, which is really too bad because by the time he is ready to appreciate how badass that would be, then he'll be too old for the role. So, I mean, I could do it myself, but I don't want to shave my head. So, well, I mean, yo.
Now I need to see you in a pink dress and a denim jacket.
Oh, my God. You know what? I really ought to. I would love to do that.
Shave your head, but keep the beard.
Well, I'm already going for Nelvana of the North. So maybe that'll be my full 4 days of cosplaying, as I'll just pick different women whose looks I can completely ruin by going as myself with a beard wearing their costume. Maybe. We'll see.
Last day, Hillary Clinton.
That's right. I mean, seriously, all I need is a pantsuit. I mean, how tough is that? All right. So, all right, next thing on my master list that I wanted to discuss. All right, I have the term gaming evangelist here, which I wrote down because I saw that somewhere. And I don't even know if I saw gaming evangelist or if I just saw evangelist and I, I applied it to myself, but I thought, ooh, gaming evangelist, I like that phrase for what it is that I enjoy doing.
I'm sorry, have you heard of the 20-sided?
And so, yeah, exactly. And so, I just like the idea of that term because I like talking people into coming to game night with us and showing off how much fun all this stuff is and just finding ways to get people involved. But you know, that was it. I just like the term gaming evangelist. Although, in our house, the other day, in fact, what was it last night, 2 nights ago, that Aiden is leaving the house and he comes into the bedroom where we're just about to go to bed. I mean, he's leaving late at night. He's like, "Hey, Dad, I'm going out with some friends. Can I borrow a 20-sided die?" And my wife had a huge laugh at that because that's what happens in our house. Any other kid, "Can I borrow a $20 bill? Can I get a 20 to go out?" No, for him, it was a 20-sided die. I'm like, "Yeah, go ahead. Oh, you know where they're kept."
Quickly, I have a message for DM Darks.
Oh, what's your message?
DM Darks, I got into magic. I thought you would enjoy that.
Yeah, he's fallen in with a bad crowd.
I mean, I'm sorry for all that super nerd making fun of you I did, because I'm into magic and I love it.
Nerd. Whatever. God, what a loser. All right. All right. Hash browns. What? Why are you laughing? It says right here, hash browns. Am I? It's on the list. Hash browns.
I can see that it's on the list. My problem is it doesn't match anything you talk about on this podcast.
Have I talked about hash browns before, guys? Have I? Because if I have, I apologize because I'm going to repeat myself.
Let me tell you, he loves hash browns.
That's not the point. The point is, for years, whenever I'm going to make hash browns, I just buy a bag of frozen hash browns because it's way easy. I just buy the $2 bag of hash browns. I get 2 pounds of potatoes, and then I make hash browns. It's not that tough, right? And then the other day I went in, and we really wanted hash browns, and we didn't have any frozen hash browns available. So, oh, Jesus, all right, fine. I'll chop up some potatoes, and I'll make some hash browns. And I just cubed them really small, and I threw them in the fryer. And I know this is really obvious, okay? I know this is a complete duh thing from everybody else. But wait, you mean when I chop up the potatoes myself and then fry them, it's way cheaper and tastes way better, and all I have to do is spend the time chopping potatoes? That's it? Oh my God, they were so good. I haven't bothered to buy any frozen potatoes since then. Holy crap. I love making hash browns like this. I mean, yes, I know they're unhealthy because they're, you know, it's nothing but soaking up oil there. I don't care. Man, those things are good. Wow. And again, all you have to do is, you know, spend the time to chop them up. I suppose if I still had my mandolin that had the little chopper attachments on it, I could have been doing it that way, but I broke that sucker in half. So,
How'd you do that?
Oh, the slicer.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. I asked how.
Oh, just after a while, something went through it and it caught at the wrong angle. It snapped the blade out of there and the plastic's broken now. And
oh,
so
wow.
I think we've had two of them and they're both broken now. So kind of a shame. But anyway, oh man, I love hash browns. Oh. All right. The Tick. I was wrong. Oh, Mike was wrong.
Mike was wicked wrong.
Yeah. Amazon hasn't picked up that series yet. It's just one of the pilots. Damn. Because I really like it. I hope this is the one that wins, because I loved the pilot episode of The Tick. I hope I get to see a full season of this thing. Oh, man, that was great stuff. So, fingers crossed, all right? Because I think I talked about it before, and I'm pretty sure I said they already picked it up, and apparently I was wrong. So, okay. Next, online voting. Why is online voting not a thing? Honest to God, I realize now that the internet has spoiled me for everything else. I can do my banking online, all right? If the internet can be made secure enough for Visa, and we can trust billions of our dollars to it, how is it we can't trust our votes to it? I don't get that. What part of this am I missing? And I understand. Things get hacked. It happens. But why are we not doing online voting? I honestly don't, I don't get it. I mean, we can go register to vote online. Aiden, you need to go register to vote. You need to do that as soon as we're done here.
No.
Why?
Because that means that I'd be obligated to make a choice.
No, no, you just have to register to vote. You don't actually have to vote. You just have to register to vote. That's it. That way you have the option. And then that way, when you are too lazy to actually go vote...
It's not that I'm lazy.
Right, you can say that you made... You can tell people you made a conscious choice not to vote. That was your protest by not voting. And then it looks like you actually did something. You know, no, I went out. I intentionally registered just so I could choose to not vote. All right. Either way, you're still lazy, though. You should vote. Mm-hmm. And you should vote for Hillary. Just so you know. I mean, I'm just saying. Just because Trump is, you know, evil and dangerous. But, hey, that's just me. All right. But I am just amazed by this. The idea that I can go out and do just about anything online. But voting, we're talking about how inconvenient it is for some people and how, you know, this is the whole reason that we have to leave, you know, that we can do early voting and leave the polls open so long. Or, you know what, we just go to online voting. And I understand. There's huge portions of the United States where people don't all have access to the internet. So this doesn't solve everybody's problem, but it would certainly solve a lot of those problems. Holy cow. I mean, and now also when it comes to voting, I suppose I shouldn't be one to complain. I mean, how lazy am I to complain about voting in person when my polling place is less than 2 blocks from my house?
Wait, really? Where is it?
It's the Lutheran church over on the other side of the middle school.
Oh, really? You walk there?
Yeah, we walk there. No, actually, most of the time we drive.
Why?
It's November. It's really cold.
You have coats.
It's November. It's really cold. So, but our polling place is literally less than 2 blocks from our house, and I have never waited in line when I've gotten there, ever. I mean, we walk in, and maybe at most there's 4 or 5 people ahead of us. Maybe. And then that's about it. We walk up, and the very sweet old ladies point us to the right section of the book. We find our names. We get signed in. And then we go vote, and they've got lots of open tables, and we usually just grab our ballots and go find a table, and we sit down and fill them out. We don't normally talk to each other while we're filling out our ballots, but, you know, we could if we wanted to. We just don't. But it's a super simple, super fast process for us. I mean, it's right by our house. It's not a crowded polling place. We get in and out with no problem. But even having said that, if I had online voting as an option and I didn't have to walk out my door to go do it, oh man, I would do that in a heartbeat. Why don't we have online voting? I don't get it. Okay. Cat tracking. I don't know if I want to go into cat tracking because this one kind of leads into larger stuff for me. And it's all real personal. But I saw a video on cat tracking where literally they just tag cats and then they follow them with GPS to see where these cats go. I mean, what, you know, these are obviously outdoor cats. Tracking indoor cats, not nearly as fun. But
it says it's under the couch, but it's not under the couch. I don't understand.
And so they have cats with GPS trackers on them, and then they just watch where these things go, and they get these patterns where most cats stay, you know, within half a mile of their house. They don't go very far. They have these regular paths that they walk every night. But every now and then they'll find something really weird. All right. A cat that has, that's been going around the neighborhood and it just knows that here's the spots where people come out and feed it. All right. And so it has, you know, it'll have this path of like, you know, 12 different houses that it visits every single night. It hits this one, then this one, then this one, and it gets food at almost all of them. And the owners had no idea that there's a dozen families out there all feeding their cat for them. But one of the cool ones was they had this one that had this real outlier where the cat suddenly walked like, you know, this cat never goes more than a half mile from its house. And then suddenly there was this period of a couple of days where it walked several miles. It just went several miles in a straight line. It went right there and then came back, and the owners had no idea that it was ever gone for that long, didn't know what was going on. So they tracked back the dates. Oh, it turns out that was the couple days that they went on vacation. So they weren't even in town at the time. And so while they were gone, the cat, not knowing what to do, walked to their old house that they hadn't lived in for like 5 years. Walked to their old house miles away. They weren't there, so it came back. That was bizarre. Yeah. Aiden, you gotta see the look on Aiden's face. Yeah, that was, how cool is that? And this is the part where it starts to get deep for me, is the idea that everybody's got a story. Like, everybody has some sort of story, everyone's got their own personal motivations. Everyone's got their own, everyone's the hero of their own novel. You know what I mean? And this is just to me, watching this one cat tracking story. And this was, I think the video I saw really looked like it was the teaser for some larger study or some larger video documentary that you could watch somewhere else. Maybe, I don't know.
Full length feature film. Cat tracking.
Right. Whatever it was, it felt like, God, I'm just not getting the full information here. But the stuff they did give was fascinating. And in watching this, it's the interconnectedness of all things. It just, I don't know. There's something very zen about the whole concept. And to me, it touches something very deep in me about how big the world really is. And how each of us just has this one small role, but everything kind of comes together. Anyway, it's something that maybe I should have saved this, but I'm never actually going to develop that. I'm just going to leave that vague mumbo jumbo just hanging there in the air, and I'll let Aiden take over.
Ooh, is it time for the gaming table? Or?
Well, it's a fingertip. I'm not going to do a whole gaming table, okay. But go ahead and talk about what you got.
So, by the time this podcast is released and you're all listening to it, there will be a video game out there on PC called Make America Great Again, : The Trump Experience.
Uh-huh. Doesn't that sound awesome?
I hope it's a parody. I hope that it's not serious, and I hope that it's making fun of Trump.
Right.
Either way, I'm playing it.
Okay.
And you're playing it with me.
All right, here's the thing. If it's a parody that's making fun of Trump, it's very likely to be really racist and horrifying and inappropriate, and they'll be racist and horrifying under the justification of, well, yes, but we're just mocking Trump, and yet that's still pretty racist. So, but here's the other thing, is if it's a serious game, do you remember how excited you were to go mock Hillary's America?
And came back a changed man, yeah.
Right, yeah. You remember that huge chunk of your soul that disappeared and you've never gotten back?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if the Trump video game is even halfway serious, there goes the other half of your soul. You know that.
Yeah.
And you're okay with it.
As a amateur critic, I am.
All right, wow. That is the things you are willing to do for your art. You're like the guy who bathed in hot sauce for art.
Is that a thing?
Oh, okay, no. Well, it's not really for art, other than this is a guy who thinks he's going to be the next Jackass. And so he's in there and he's got a tub full of hot sauce. Here's all the empty bottles and he has filled his tub with blazing hot sauce. And then he gets down to his bathing suit and he gets in the tub. And when his feet get in, he's like, oh, that tingles. Oh. And then he sits down and you can see.
And it touches his balls.
Yeah, the minute his genitalia hit the hot sauce, he's yelling. He's yelling because he's obviously in excruciating pain.
Could you imagine it right in your pee hole?
Don't say pee hole. Seriously.
What's wrong with pee hole?
This is a classy joint.
Is it?
Well, no, but Avery said vagina on theirs. Oh. So, yeah. She was really crude, too. That Avery. Ugh. Anyway. That's The Cast and the Curious, by the way. If you're interested, this is my greatest sales pitch ever. My brother's podcast, The Cast and the Curious. Awesome fun. It really is. I love listening to that one every week. So anyway.
They say vagina. It's okay.
So, well, just Avery. So anyway, this dude gets down there and he's already screaming because he's got hot sauce all over his genitals. But he's committed because, of course, he's the next Steve-O. He's the next Johnny Knoxville. He's ready.
Except Steve-O has reservations about what he did on the show.
Oh, I'm sure he does now. But actually, yeah, then this guy is definitely looking to be Steve-O. Anyway, so the guy already screaming, already in pain, but he's got to go the full distance. So he then lays down.
It's in his eyes.
Right, lays down and submerges his face. Now it's in his eyes. And he gets up and he is screaming. He's crying. He is miserable. And really, all he wants to do more than anything is get under a shower and wash all this off. But oh, he can't get in the shower because his tub is full of hot sauce. He can't. And when I say full of hot sauce, I mean his tub is full to the edge with hot sauce. He can't run a shower. He can't do anything. I don't know where he found another shower in his apartment building, but later it shows him laying on the floor of the shower with the thing spraying right in his eyes, still crying.
Pansy.
Oh, it was phenomenally stupid. And it's the kind of thing that I normally wouldn't want to watch that, except he was totally doing it to himself. He asked for every single moment of that. And it was really... I don't know. There was just something about that level of stupidity. Just couldn't get away from it. Oh, the guy was crazy. All right. Anyway.
What are these next stats?
All right. I don't know if I'll get to the stats. First, Noah came into my wife's classroom today and was, I don't remember what I had done to him, but he turns around and goes, "What's your damage, Heather?" Which I thought was hysterical. I'm like, "What's your damage, Heather?" And so,
where's that from?
It's from the movie Heathers. So my wife then says, she's laughing her ass off. She's like, "How does he even know that?" I don't know. Must have told him at some point. So here's the thing: you've never seen the movie Heathers.
No.
All right, we're gonna watch the movie Heathers. Me and you.
Like right now. I mean, we're in the middle of a podcast.
All right, you guys. We'll be right back. We have to go watch a movie. All right, I'm kidding. We're not going to go watch it right now. But we will watch Heathers because you need to watch Heathers. It's important.
Is Heather damaged?
No, but one of the things that they do ask is, "What's your damage, Heather?" All right, so from that, Noah was so tickled that he got a great reaction out of that, that he talked about it some more, and he came up with, and I'm so proud of him, he wants to design a T-shirt that involves the Heathers all sitting around a table playing Dungeons and Dragons. Clearly, Veronica would be the game master at this point. And it's going to, in the T-shirt, the four of them, it has to be the Veronica and the Heathers. And they have to be dressed in their outfits from the movie. But then one of them has to have a wizard hat on, and they'll have other accoutrements of Dungeons and Dragons, and all the stuff will be out on the table. And then the caption is going to be Veronica saying, "Critical hit! What's your damage, Heather?" That would be so brilliant. This is all Noah. I'm so proud of him.
Do we have matching Gen Con shirts?
Oh my god. Well, I just need an artist who can make this for me, because here's the problem. I went out and looked, because I'm like, well, clearly someone has to have a Heather's What's Your Damage, Heather shirt that combines it with Dungeons & Dragons. It has to be out there. There has to be a cartoon, something. No, I can't find any of it.
So, sort of like the Elephons?
Right!
I can't be the first one to think of that.
Right! How can Aiden be the first person to think of Elephons? I mean, somewhere there has to be an elephant.
With a pompadour and a leather jacket.
Right, with a ducktail pompadour, leather jacket, both thumbs up. He's the Elephons. Can't find him anywhere. So okay, first, we need an Elephons t-shirt. And then we need a Winona Ryder and Company playing Dungeons and Dragons What's Your Damage, Heather t-shirt. I need these so bad I can't stand it. And I don't know who I'm going to get to do this, because Elephons, I could probably fake up an Elephons t-shirt pretty well. All right. My amateur cartooning, I could do an Elephons. But the What's Your Damage, Heather, that would take... I need a real artist, someone who can actually make sure we can see that it's the right characters and that they're dressed up for D&D and the whole business. But, Oh, man, I would pay good money for those. I would, oh, God, I hate just giving away these ideas, but I know I'm never going to do it, so somebody's going to make this for me, and then I will buy it from them.
All eight of you, I hope you're listening.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's see. No, we're going to skip the statistics. We're going to skip racist mathematics.
I'm sorry.
We're going
to
skip.
Can we go back to racist mathematics quick?
It's a bit about how math is racist. And
see, okay, that's what I thought it was about. Now, how?
It's not that math is racist. That is the headline.
Oh, is it that the names in books are stereotypical?
No. We've fixed that.
I mean, because there was Shaniqua in one of mine.
Yes. No, that's exactly true. Math is racist is a clickbait headline so that people will start looking at the article. But what the article is talking about is how math is used to racist ends so that when you're using statistics and predictors to say, you know, for example, it is sentencing guidelines based on how likely a person is to be a repeat offender. And when they start plugging the numbers in, well, do you come from this sort of neighborhood? Do you have a family history of criminal activity? Have, you know, blah, 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 blah. When you plug in all the factors, what it comes down to is, oh yeah, Black people are listed, according to the math, as being way more likely to be repeat offenders because of cultural situations, the neighborhood they live in, the blah, whatever. And so therefore, when you have a computer program generating your likelihood to reoffend and determining sentencing guidelines, Black people get hit with way stiffer sentences than white people do based on this information. And this comes through statistics companies that give these surveys, these assessments. There you go. These assessment tools, and you fill in the information, but then they don't. It's kind of a black box on how they calculate it because it's their trade secret stuff. And so ultimately, they come back with these very racist sentencing guidelines that they, you know, it's based on math. Hey, look, this is what the math says, and so it's, you know, racist for sentencing guidelines, racist for determining who qualifies for loans at what rates. It's racist for, you know, all sorts of determinations like this, where they're using these assessments that are supposed to standardize things and they're supposed to make things more fair or more it's supposed to reduce the risk for the people with the money, essentially, and it winds up being very racist. And this article explained it all in ways that are way more eloquent than what I'm doing here because I'm just half-assing it. But that's why I wasn't going to go into the whole thing on why math is racist.
And
I don't know the article all that well.
And for all you listeners at home, that's who you get Mike to talk about something he was going to skip, is you ask him questions about it anyway.
You're a dick. So while we were at the Missouri River Expo in Ponca State Park in Ponca, Nebraska, which, by the way, the Missouri River Expo is phenomenal. Every year they have a zillion things to do and it's all free. Everything's free. We pay for our food and then that's it. Free parking, free shuttle service, free tours, free shows and presentations, free activities. It's awesome fun. And so we go every year and we have a great time. This year, we happened to be passing by while they were doing a presentation of how to field dress a snapping turtle. And let me tell you, if you have never watched someone field dress a snapping turtle, you are in for a treat. Okay, you gotta know this Missouri River Expo, the whole center area was all shooting sports. So they had archery, they had slingshots, they had javelin throw with the atlatl, BB guns, black powder, shotgun. I mean, and it works all the way up. So the easy stuff that we all did, you know, archery, BB guns, javelin throw, that kind of stuff, tomahawk throw, all that's at the bottom of the hill. And as you go further back, it's all the stuff that you have to be at least 16, you have to be at least 18, you have to sign a waiver, you have to, when they get up to the dangerous guns up at the top. But there's a lot of stuff, especially in this area, that's about hunting. because that's part of the outdoor expo here is the hunting. So specifically there's areas on, you know, how you field dress a deer and how you skin and prepare a raccoon, how you
field dressing for those of us like me who don't know what hunting is.
All right. You've shot or captured the animal in the wild.
Yes.
And field dressing means what you do to prepare it, prepare the animal. So that if you wanted to cook it right there at your camp, you certainly could. Or if you're just preparing the meat to bring back with you.
Okay.
So you're field dressing. So the snapping turtle that they had in question, I don't know how many pounds the snapping turtle was. We missed the first 2 minutes of it. So I don't know how much it weighed, but it's a snapping turtle that was probably a good, the shell was over 2 feet in diameter. All right. So a big snapping turtle.
Very large big. Water dragon.
And they demonstrate by putting a stick in its mouth and watching that thing snap down on it, and it breaks the stick in half. And, okay, yeah, it'll definitely take your fingers off if you get too close. All right. Got that. But by the way, yeah, that's right. A live snapping turtle is what we're starting with.
You're going to get PETA on you if you keep going.
Oh, dude, you don't know this story yet. You just wait. So you got to imagine the giant 2 foot diameter shell snapping turtle, giant turtle. All right. And now one guy gets in there and gets something in the turtle's mouth and is pulling the head up. The other guy gets in there with a very large knife and cuts its head off. Because, you know, they have to kill it. So they've now cut off the turtle's head. You following me here, camera guy?
Yeah.
All right. So
okay, great, Chris, whatever his name is.
Yeah, that guy. All right.
What is his name?
Now, here's the thing. Now that they've taken the head off, now they have a whole demonstration.
Chris Offer, that's it.
Chris Offer, you're right. Now they have a demonstration where they pick up the head, and they get something close to its mouth, and it bites the crap out of it. Because the head's still alive.
Yeah, just like snakes. Snakes can bite you an hour after beheading.
Right. And so they're telling us that, no. The head is severed. Technically, it's dead. But that head will still bite for 3 hours. They said early on, one of the first years that they did this, they just, you know, they got the head off. They threw it away. And then later, whoever their volunteer was that pulled that garbage out and is carrying the bag off, the head bit him through the bag and seriously damaged his hand. So now, to make sure that doesn't happen, they actually sever the jaw muscles there to make sure that the head is no longer dangerous. And so they throw the head away. All right, good. Head's gone. Now the rest of the turtle, also still moving. Oh, dude, you don't know. You don't know. All right, if you have a sensitive stomach, seriously, listeners, if you have a sensitive stomach, you might want to fast forward now because I haven't hit the worst of it yet. This turtle is still moving. They flip it over on its back, and the legs are still going. I mean, it's like it looks like it's trying to swim, except it got no head. Sergeant Dan, you ain't got no head. I know. He got no head. Oh, it was so bad. And I know, that sounded racist. It was meant to be Forrest Gump.
I know it was Forrest Gump. I know what it was. Don't worry.
Okay. But it was... So here's this poor turtle. Poor turtle. It's got no head. It's not feeling any pain. Technically, it can't feel any pain. It's got no brain. All right? But this turtle body, this shell of its former self. Laying on its back, legs just a flailing in the air.
Oh, that reminds me of when they euthanized ducks.
And so they, oh yeah, I've seen that too. So
when we needed to launch ducks for Boy Scouts.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, imagine taking a rotting duck, like this thing's been dead for like 5 hours. So you've got the stench of death around you and a bucket of dead ducks. Like, I kid you not, like 30 dead ducks in a bucket and you've got a military grade slingshot. And you are loading this bucket of dead ducks into the slingshot to then launch into a field or a lake for then the duck hunt dog competitions.
That's right. That's pretty cool. All right. So anyway,
back to turtles.
Back to the flailing turtle. The guy then demonstrates how razor sharp those turtles' claws are, because it uses them for digging, and they're very powerful claws. And he says, these can still be dangerous. So we need to take these off of here. So he then proceeds to cut the feet off, one at a time. And so now...
How much of a task is that?
Not much. Because the feet, I mean, he was taking it off, I think, just right over the end of the paw. So he's just taking the claws off. It wasn't as detailed. Then cutting the head off, he had to really saw at that. That took some work. But the feet he took off in just a few seconds for each one. But what it means is we're now, as the audience, looking at a giant snapping turtle laying on its back, no head, just the bloody stump of a neck, and then four bloody stumps where the feet used to be. And they're all still flailing around. It was the most horrific. It was a horror movie. It was a scene from a horror movie. It was this
for turtles.
This dead creature, and yet here's all these bloody stumps still waving in the air, and they wouldn't stop. And the guy's like, yeah, it takes about 3 hours before the body finally stops moving. So, you know, a lot of people, when they're out in the field, if they've got a turtle, they like to kill it and then put it somewhere where it can sit for 3 hours, and then they'll come back and work on it. But we haven't got that kind of time, so we're just going to keep going. And the people I felt bad for this demonstration...
Were the kids?
Well, there were kids who were there from the beginning, and their parents were explaining things that, as the shocking stuff happens, you can see the parents all leaning over to go, okay, now, honey, this is... All right, fine. No, the ones I felt bad for were...
The turtle?
Nah, the turtle... Turtle feeling no pain at this point. So, no. The turtle is on its back, again, five bloody stumps, just waving around. They left the tail, because, you know, tail's good meat. But five bloody stumps waving around, and this is where some young dad and his two kids come walking up to join the party. Like, they've just gotten here, and they come over to the audience going, oh, look, something's going on up there. Oh, my God! I felt really bad for that guy, because you could just see the horrified looks on his kids' faces, and he's himself realizing he needs to say something to his kids, but he's in such shock that he doesn't know how to react yet, because he can't even take in what's going on here. Like you walk up going, I think that's a turtle. What are they doing here? Why is this even happening? It was bad. And so... that's when they start separating the shell from the body, and I realized, you know what? There's nothing else I need to know about field dressing a snapping turtle. I think we're pretty well done here. And then we finally left. So we saw that first 10, 15 minutes, and then we're like, yeah, you know what? This is nothing but a horror show. This is nothing but grisly gore. There's no reason we should have watched any of this. So next year, you know what, when they field dress the deer and the raccoon and the possum, and I think we're going to skip all of those. I think we've seen enough of slaughtering animals in the wild. I think we're about done with that one.
I like half of this next one.
Which one? Booby trap?
Yeah, it's the trap part. Great music.
Okay. Booby trap was at... All right. We're at game night, and someone has brought a really cool game, and it plays, it's a Jenga style of game, but it's a board, and it's
snap.
Is that? Well, it's got the
ones where you pull out pegs?
Yeah, and you pull out the pegs.
Yeah, snap.
Well, no, it's originally?
Yeah.
The game was originally Booby Trap, and the original Booby Trap game was in 1965. I have never seen this game before, and so I was just hypnotized by it, and I'm like, oh man, I have got to get myself one of these. This is great. It's a nice, easy game. Everyone can play. Everyone can have fun. Easy to understand.
And then you read the warnings about people losing fingers.
No. But then I went to go look it up, and I'm like, okay, spring-loaded, wooden pegs. I'm putting in all the search terms, and it goes, oh, you mean Booby Trap? 1965. I'm like, I've never seen this before. It's a classic. It's a board game classic, and I've never seen it before. I was a little ashamed, but wow, it was a great, great game. So we had a really good time with it.
It's under the name Oh Snap now.
Okay, you know what? This was a Fingertips episode, And this was meant to be really short because it's already past midnight. So for those of you who did Listener Betrayal, I actually opened that early, but then Aiden needed help with homework, and so Listener Betrayal didn't quite line up with my recording times tonight. But it's late, and so we need to get a move on. So you know what? Enough of the fingertips. It's time for... What are you so excited about?
It's the Pod-O-Matic!
Aw. Forgot to turn them on. Hold on. Okay. 45. And we're only going to do one. Because we've really got to get... really got to get moving here. And we are way too late. So, number 45... Who is the lucky one that we get tonight? That's 44. Sorry, Kyle. 45, it's Mrs. Darks. All right. Mrs. Darks says, would you rather have insomnia or narcolepsy for the rest of your life?
Insomnia. You can still do stuff. I don't like falling asleep randomly.
Oh, but I hate being so tired.
Monster energy, dude. Just straight up.
All right, you know what? I'll give him this one. We'll take the insomnia because, you know, narcolepsy means you got to lose your driver's license because you might fall asleep at the wheel. You can't. No, we're really not ringing it up anymore, dude. That's it. I didn't even realize we were so close to an hour, and I got to get to bed.
Well, we still have a couple more things to do, but then you can go to bed.
Right, but then I can go to bed. So, okay, that was it. That was the Pod-O-Matic. Thanks, Mrs. Darks. That means let's see if GLaDOS can give us a recap of the episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. And my bumper music this week was Fingertips by They Might Be Giants. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. Wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Let's see. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, there we go. Recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth. It's my bread and butter, people. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners. Do my work for me because I'm lazy. Don't forget to send me, questions and topics for my Pod-O-Matic, which I didn't even do the intro for the Pod-O-Matic this time. We said Pod-O-Matic and then I didn't read the whole spiel. Hot dog. This is, all right. Anyway, I'm not going to do it now. It's too late. Gah, man, the completist in me, though, really wants to go back and do it. But I'm not going to. Be strong, Mike. Be strong. So send me questions and topics for the Pod-O-Matic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, you want to give me a sponsor, co-host, what Nerd Pride smells like, send it all to me. Save me all that grueling research and thinking. God, I hate thinking. All right, my contact info, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, the very best way to talk to me is you come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, send me a message, we will hang out together. We'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Betrayal, I said without my voice cracking at all. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds and out on Facebook, and I post up, hey, we're recording. Anything anyone posts to either of those, I read off right here at the end of the podcast. So, starting over at my website. The first one is from Akiva. And Akiva says, for the rest of the show, when anyone asks how awesome is DM Darks, you have to answer, eh, not so much.
Okay, wait. Hold on. Dad?
Yeah.
Is DM Darks awesome?
Eh, not so
whoa,
much.
Whoa. I gave you a loophole. I gave you a way out.
I know, but I have to go by the spirit, the intent.
I gave you a way out.
Ask me about Pat.
How's Pat?
He's a dickhole. All right, so... the next one is from... Next one is from Kaz Monster. And Kaz says, trapped in a haunted house, you're confronted with an angry spirit. Which radio nerd died? And how is it your fault? Ooh. All right. Clearly, if I'm confronted with an angry spirit, it's going to be Akiva. And how did Akiva die? That's the tough part for me.
By dissing DM Darks.
Probably was murdered by Darks. But how is that my fault? Oh.
I mean, it was your podcast.
Exactly, because I told him. What are you going to do, man? Next, says Kaz, are you excited for the Fox Rocky Horror Show? My feelings are decidedly mixed. No, not excited at all. I love the original. I've seen it a bunch of times in a lot of different contexts.
Did somebody say rice?
And I really enjoy Rocky Horror. I don't see a need for a new version, and so therefore, I could care less. I mean, is it already out? Has it happened? Is it coming up? I don't know when it's supposed to be. I don't know if I'll ever watch it or not. Have no idea. But I just, it's not one that I see a big need for. The magic of the original Rocky Horror was that it was so sincere in a lot of ways and so terrible. But because it touched on issues of sexuality and identity, and it touched a nerve, and it became this cult classic, in spite of how really bad it was. There's just a magic to that. You don't intentionally create a cult classic. So a remake, a new version of it, is going to be something entirely different. It's going to be something that is very self-aware, something that knows what it is and what it's doing. And so therefore, I'm not any more thrilled about it than I am about anything else coming out. It just doesn't appeal to me. But, I don't know. I mean, eventually I'll probably have to catch it. Yeah, probably. But we'll see. Last, what's the soup of the day? Why is soup in all caps? Does that stand for something? Am I missing something?
I don't know.
I don't either.
It's broccoli oyster, in case you're wondering.
Oh, disgusting. That's why I didn't get the soup.
Right.
God, I was hoping.
Nobody ever gets the soup of the day.
I was hoping for a good French onion. Mm. You know what? French onion is a soup that I can eat. I've always been able to enjoy French onion soup. But man, about 3 or 4 years ago, we were at a wedding. And the night before the wedding, everybody's in town. So it's a bunch of family, and they all suggested that we go to this one restaurant, super expensive restaurant. And while we were there, I mean, everyone's food was phenomenal, but man, the French onion soup I had beforehand, I mean, it was like ambrosia. It was food of the gods. It was the single best soup I have ever eaten in my life. And it was just a French onion soup, but it was so good. I wish I could even remember the name of the restaurant. It was up in Black Hawk, which is right by Sturgis.
You've told me this story. I hear it before they do.
Well, I know, but I'm saying it out loud as if I'm talking to you, but saying it out loud so that they know.
Well, then no, look at me, what dead in the eyes, as if you love me.
Hold on. I don't love you.
I know.
Okay.
That's why I was making sure you weren't lying to me.
So, anyway. All right, yeah, that's our soup, is broccoli oyster. Oh, God, what a choice. All right, next, it's from Reginald. Reginald, who is on his, second post ever? Something like that. Reginald says, hey, Mike, what is your opinion on sporks? Lazy man's utensil or brilliant cutlery engineering? If you could answer in the form of a haiku, that would be preferable. Oh, is this my wife in disguise? Because this sounds like something she would do. Except I know she's asleep. Oh, all right.
Original.
While I'm stalling, I do like the T-shirt that has Mr. Spork on it. It's literally a Star Trek shirt, and it's Mr. Spock, except instead of Spock's head, instead of Leonard Nimoy, there's just a big spork coming out of the top of the collar. It's Mr. Spork. I know it's lazy, and yet I find it really, really funny. So, okay. Spork, lone utensil. Okay, that's five. I got that one. All right. It scoops, and it also stabs, but neither quite well.
All right.
There you go. That's not bad. That's not great, but not bad for spur-of-the-moment haiku. It is, to elaborate on that, yeah, I don't mind a spork, you know, when it has to be a spork, but it, again, you know, you can only get half of a spoonful of soup in a spork, and you can only stab things that are really soft, and you can't stab them very deeply when you use it as a fork. So therefore, it kind of half-asses both jobs, but at least it gets them done. Now, when you got a spork that has that serrated blade on the side, so you can also use it as a knife.
Are you talking about a spife?
Yeah, those just piss me off because they're just asking you to cut your mouth when you put it in your face. It's terrible. Terrible. Oh, hey, but that's the end of that one. All right, let's go on over to Facebook. All right, Facebook is... Hey, there's plenty of people here. All right, first is Nelly. Nelly says, if Nerd Pride Radio was a candy, what would it be?
Full of nougat.
No, no.
We're old school.
No, look, it would be Mike and Ike's, clearly.
So does that make me Ike?
That makes all of you the Ikes, all right? In fact, if we ever needed a name for my fans, they'd be the Ikes, all right? But we don't need a name for my fans. We don't. You don't have to call yourself that. I don't want to start a trend because it's still stupid. But Mike and Ikes. I love Mike and Ikes. And in quite an array of colors. And, in fact, the latest, have you seen the new?
The Mega Pack. I have some.
The Mega Pack of Mike and Ikes. 10 flavors in one box? Oh, man.
I think it's too much. I honestly think it's too much.
You're a communist.
No. Look, when you restrict it to 5 or 6 flavors, that's okay. When you throw in too many flavors, you just... Which shade of orange is this?
Yeah, well, and actually, my disappointment with the Mega Pack is that it doesn't have the traditional flavors in it.
No, not at all.
Because those are really my favorites. I love the traditional Mike and Ikes, just the standard ones. I know they come in tropical and whatever else. The all reds, the who cares? I love just a traditional box of Mike and Ikes, the green package. Oh, those are so good. All right. And then she also asks, if Kasten the Curious was a candy, what would it be?
Almond Joys, because rarely anybody likes it.
Oh, no. I love the Kasten the Curious.
I love you, Kyle. I'm kidding.
It's great, but, it would be...
I like Almond Joys, Dad.
It would probably be black licorice jelly beans. It's an acquired taste. I mean, look, either you like them or you don't, really. But wait, when you do like them, you really like them. Now, you know what? I think they have a more general appeal than that. I think I'm being unfair to them. Because I want to make some sort of, you know, do a joke candy here that implies, you know, mean things about them. But I really like Curious.
Say Almond Joys, because for people who like coconut, well, that's the candy for them.
Right. I really just want to call them mixed nuts, but that's not candy.
Oh!
Yeah, I know. Oh, well. All right. Sarah Beth says, all my crazed ranting either comes out way too ragey or way too whiny. So instead I ask you, non-sugar natural sweeteners, honey or maple syrup? Show your work. Oh, this is easy.
Honey.
Yeah. Well, I love honey. I mean, I love maple syrup too. But maple syrup is really specific. It's not as, I mean, no matter what you add maple syrup to, it's still maple syrup.
Right, and it has that distinct punch-you-in-the-face maple flavor.
Yeah, which, and again, I love maple syrup. I do. But it's as much flavoring as it is sweetener. Whereas honey, I mean, honey is also distinctive in its own way, but honey, I think, just makes a better natural sweetener. I love honey.
And best part about honey is it will never go bad ever.
That's exactly right. And if I buy it in a, 2-gallon jug, how big is that honey that you made me buy the other week?
Oh, dude, and I'm still eating through that.
It is. Yeah, I'm amazed. What are you, halfway through? It's been like a week?
It's been like 3 or 4.
Kid goes through 4 gallons of honey a week. He's just an animal.
Anyway, but you know, like, honey will stay good for thousands of years.
I mean, like 10 gallons of honey this kid eats. It just
is this like the clown and the dollar bill joke?
Yes, it's exactly like that.
And if you remember, he gave me a $10 bill.
That's right.
he gave me a blank piece of paper.
So anyway, next. Oh, Sarah Beth again. Do you plan on watching the new MacGyver when it comes out on your non-Roku device?
There's a new MacGyver?
Yeah, there's a new MacGyver coming out.
Wait. What does she mean when it comes out on your non-Roku device?
Well, because I have a Roku segment for watching streaming stuff, but we don't actually use Roku anymore.
Right.
So she's saying whatever device it is that we watch our stuff on that's not Roku. No, I'm not planning on watching the new MacGyver. I'm not excited about it. I get it. Just not excited.
All he has to do is look at the directions on his iPad.
That's good. Oh man, I just yawned. I am so tired.
Escape bomb lined room.
All right. Because her next question is, were you a fan of the original? Oh, you know what? I don't think I ever watched an episode of MacGyver. And, you know, I was the right age for it. I was right there. It was on TV while I was watching lots of TV. I just don't think I ever watched MacGyver. I know I've seen a few minutes of it, and I remember people making jokes about how, he can make, he makes something out of anything. And I mean, it's MacGyver. That's where we get the word MacGyver from. But no, I never saw it. So, what are you using now instead of Roku? We have
his smart TV.
My kids are watching on their laptops. Well, sometimes.
We have never watched Netflix on a laptop.
Well, no, not Netflix, but other streaming TV.
YouTube.
Whether it's YouTube or...
I do Crunchyroll, at least.
Yeah, I once in a while use my laptop. But out here we have the Wii U.
Which we don't use anymore for that.
Or, do we have a Blu-ray player out here?
No, we have the smart TV.
Oh, we have smart TV, duh. You already said smart TV. I wasn't paying attention. And then in my bedroom, we use the Blu-ray player. We were using...
Wait, do we have a Blu-ray player?
Yeah, in the bedroom. It's not for you.
Oh.
It's adults only. So anyway.
Excuse me?
We have a Blu-ray player. but we also have a smart TV in the bedroom. But the smart TV was not allowing us to...
It just wasn't very smart.
Well, it wasn't allowing us to control... HD versus not HD, whereas the Blu-ray player does. And so we like that better. Gives us a little more control over how much bandwidth we're using up. So that's what we use. We use a lot of things. Sarah Beth then says, also, how awesome is Paranoia? Oh, Paranoia. So awesome. It is, again, I already told you guys, I can't tell you anything about it. But it's doing great. And we've just had a couple of really, really awesome moves. So I think we're either almost done or about 25% of the way through. I can't quite measure because it's Paranoia. I mean, it depends because there's things that could happen. I mean, look, there's one character in the game, one character who has been, ever since they got to their second clone, this character has been focused on, all right, gonna get this done, let's go. And I think that character has had the expectation of just finishing the mission and solving everything within about the next 3 or 4 moves. And it never happens, and it never happens, and it never happens, but it just keeps getting closer. Like, you can just almost taste it. And so this person is under the impression that, you know what, we could just be done in moments here. Let's just do it.
Aren't they just changing a light bulb?
No, don't speak. There's different people with different missions. We don't want to inform the other side. So that's all I'm saying. Just we can't talk. But yes, Everyone knows that there are light bulbs involved. I'll tell you that much. But we'll get to that. I can't wait till I can start talking about this for real. Sarah Beth then says, I had company this from California this week, but my move is being emailed right now. Yeah, I already saw it. I didn't read all the way through it, but I saw that I have it. And sorry about the delay. No, it's all right. Weekends are weekends. I'm not worried about that. Sometimes I post on the weekend, but usually not. And then Kaz comes over here and says, as always, thanks for the show. Hey, thank you, Kaz. This has been a good show. And all right, a little over an hour. I was not hoping to go this long, but you know me. I can't help but run on at the mouth. So, that's it. Say goodnight, Aiden.
Good night.
And say goodnight, R2. Let's make sure he's turned on. Say goodnight, R2. You guys have been the best. I absolutely love you guys. I cannot wait to talk to you again next week. Next week, maybe I'll be a little more focused because it won't be so late and I won't be so damn tired. But we'll see. Actually, you know what?
It's 1, 2, 3, 4 right now.
It is 1, 2, 3, 4. I always spot that too. That's great. The time is 12:34. I'm going to be in a hotel Wednesday night this week and I will have absolutely nothing to do. I may wind up recording Wednesday night, so we'll see how that works out. Hold on. Oh my God, I can't stop yawning. Man, I'm tired.
It's because it's 12:34 at night.
It's 12:34. So anyway, I love you guys. You've been great. I'll see you next week. Take care.